right, so I think how we will start, if it's okay with you, is just get you to break down in layman's terms what they actually did here.
What this group has done has made it much easier to reprogram the cells of the body to make any kind of cell type that we want. One of the big discoveries in stem cell science was the discovery that by expressing four particular genes in any cell type, you could confer on that cell the properties of embryonic stem cells. Embryonic stem cells are really cool because they're the cells that make all the cells of the body. So once you have those as your starting point, you can potentially make any cell type you need for repairing tissue or drug discovery or such matters. But it's a complicated process. What this group has discovered is that there's a much simpler way to do this, which is to apply the types of stresses that often occur in nature, and then what happens is that there is spontaneous reprogramming of a subset of cells that now express the properties of embryonic stem cells. This is scientifically so interesting because this is a property that has been around in evolution for a long time, and nobody knew that it could be applied in mammals. So what happens in plants is that when you stress the plant cells is you get new stem cells. Now that we can do this in mammals using the same, basically the same kinds of methods, one, it teaches us that these properties are so critical to the function of a cell that they're maintained through hundreds and hundreds of millions of years of evolution. So this is a bedrock property of stem cell biology. This makes it so much easier for us to, for example, take a patient with a rare genetic disease and make cells from their body that we can use to analyze the disease process, to discover drugs that might be used for treating the disease, and also to discover drugs that might make the disease worse, an area of increasing interest.
In terms of using an external stimulus for this reprogramming as opposed to getting in there and messing around with genes or the nucleus, things like that, what does that mean in terms of time to revert these back to stem cells and also possibly even impact on cost?
This appears to be much quicker, and it'll reduce the cost somewhat. I mean, the costs were coming down significantly anyway, but this is going to bring the cost down very low, and it makes this technology basically accessible to high school laboratories.
In terms of the drug development that you touched on there, being able to do this, what's this going to mean in terms of how we are able to discover treatment processes and disease processes and break into some of the things that we really haven't had much of a handle on to this point?
Well, let's take an example from one of the diseases we work on. There are rare diseases called lysosomal storage disorders that disrupt critical functions in a cell. Children who have these diseases often have very short and very unpleasant lives. And we would like to use cells that have these mutations to develop new therapies. The challenge is that there are dozens of different mutations, and you can't make mouse models for all of them. Whereas now we can easily go in to different patients, isolate the cells, have the full range of mutations at our disposal, and easily go in and now try and discover drugs that would help to improve the quality of life of these children.
When we look at this discovery, I mean, some of the words that I heard bandied around within the scientific community were, you know, revolutionary, surprising, things like that. How surprising is it that there is this crossover that goes all the way back and is still seen in plants, that we can use something like a low pH solution to trigger this response from our cells?
Is this surprising? It depends on how you think about biology. The fundamental principle of evolution is that when something works, it becomes part of the rule set. So that's why we all species have the same kinds of DNA, and all life forms use the same kinds of ways of creating energy in cells. So from that perspective, there's nothing surprising about this, that this is something, a tool that that biology has had for a very long time. So when I look at this from an evolutionary perspective, my response is, oh my goodness, how could I not have thought of doing that? That this is exactly how it has to work.
And for the people who were very surprised about it, do you think it is just that sort of skipping over of the fact that we are very similar to all of the other species that are out there?
We do have a bias that humans are special, or that mammals are special, but particularly that humans are special. And that bias comes up for various reasons. One is that many of us are taught that through religious upbringing. And another is that it's very hard to translate even discoveries from the mouse into the clinic. We can cure mice of cancer very easily, but still getting cures for malignant cancers is challenging. So I think there's two ways in which that bias gets introduced. But in the end, everything comes down to evolution. Everything comes down to the rules of evolution.
I think for a lot of people hearing that this research has made it easier, quicker, cheaper to create stem cells, they'll think that, you know, we've solved that problem and it's time to move on. Just run me through, you know, what it really means in terms of research. You're still going to have to go through the same process as you did before. We're still going to have to look at the possibility for tumors and things like that. How much of a difference is it really going to make if this is proven to be possible with human cells the way it was with mouse cells?
I think that you've hit it exactly right. The use of this for discovery science is very straightforward, and people will be applying that immediately. But if you want to use cells for transplantation, then you have to go through the exact same rigorous discovery process, the exact same process of demonstrating safety of the cells that you may wish to transplant. The only difference is that we've learned a lot about how to do that. So that will speed things up, but it's still necessary to go through exactly the same sequence of experiments.
Okay. Being so familiar with the topic area, is there anything else in this report that you found particularly interesting or that you think people might want to know about?
No, I think that the main take-home lesson is that approaching biology from an evolutionary perspective can force you to think about, or allow you to think about, matters in very different ways. And the more that we do that, and the more that we understand how the principles of evolution control the function of all cell types, whether they're plant or human or anything else, the faster we're going to make the critical discoveries we need to actually get treatments for the many very important diseases for which we're trying to find solutions.